record on this computer. Okay, because Lori can't make it and Tracy can't make it. And like,
so I don't get the answer again.
Well, I just want to wait till Tracy, who asked the question,
oh,
with the respect, and then I will I'll deal with the question.
Okay.
But Shelley asked a very general question. And Shelley's question, let me just find it here.
She's not here.
Yeah, I know. She's supposed to be here, though. Maybe it's ask the rabbi. Yes, here it is. But just a basic question. Why do the Jewish people wear a red ribbon? What is its significance?
Oh, that's a good question.
You know, in Yiddish, we would say, I write to Bendel. And you get these places that get, I don't know how they say it in Hebrew, when you go to various places, when you go to Tzvat, maybe, or, you know, these Kabbalistic, they sell these little red bracelets.
They like fits.
Reds. People go, I don't know how much they charge for them, but it's supposed to have special meaning. So I would like to just make it very clear here that there is actually no Jewish source dealing with a red string or whatever you want to call it. For as much as these people, they sell these things or whatever they do, and Kabbalah, you go to the Kabbalah Center, oh, you got to have a red string. You don't have a red string, you know, that's almost like your entry. There is no source in Judaism for this red string. Can I say that it's a... Now, there is such a thing in terms of an ayin hara, of an evil eye. But to say that this red string is going to thwart an evil eye, I don't think so. Now, I will say, however, that you will find that in the pagan world, in the idolatry world, you will find that there's such a concept of a red string, not in Judaism. On the contrary, the Talmud says, the Talmud does discuss from a little bit more esoteric perspective, the difference, what the various colors mean. God gave us colors. At the end of the day, God gave us colors. And it seems to be that if a person really wants to thwart off an evil eye, one should look at blue. So if anything, they should be selling blue strings, like blue, like sky blue, and not red strings. On the contrary, that it may even be considered a sin to wear one of these red strings, because since it's like paganism, it's a display of paganism, then a Jew might be, you know, moving, you know, in that, you know, just a Jew should be doing Jewish things, not pagan things. And wearing a red string certainly has pagan origins. It does not have Jewish origins. Now, you want to support the lady or the man that's sitting by the gravesite of whoever, the Arizal, whoever they sit, the Kever Rachel, you can get them. And you want to give them some few shekels anyway? Give them a few shekels. Like, nothing wrong with giving them a few shekels. But would I wear a red string? No. There is no source in Judaism for it. Eliel David.
It reminds me of a funny halacha that I once learned about Shabbos in the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch. I don't know how to say, code of law written by the... Anyways, he said amulets are considered carrying on Shabbat because they don't do anything. But if a person really feels that his life is in danger, if he doesn't wear the amulet, he's allowed to wear it. But his opinion of amulets were very, very low. So it was like all these kinds of things are very questionable.
So there are many stories. It's interesting that you say that, because there are many stories in terms of a Kameya where that was written for people that I think the Gemara even talks about. So maybe the ones written today, or how we write them today, they carry less value than the ones written back then, those kinds of charms. Those were special. That, at least, there's a source for. But a red string, my friends, if you wear a red string, hey, maybe call it fashion. Do what you like. It's got nothing to do with Judaism. You're not going to win the Olympic medal, gold medal, because you're wearing a red string. It will have zero effect. Again, it might be a mental thing or whatever. And no disrespect to those who wear. But there is, once again, there is no source for it. If you can find one, by all means, please share. I have yet to find one. All right. So Shelly, I guess, missed the answer, but at least we're on record tonight, so she can get the answer. Anybody have any questions or comments before we move on to our book? Okay. So we were talking about this interesting discussion on the 12 principles. And the first principle, let's review what we talked a little bit about last week, because we didn't get the second half. There are two halves to this first principle. The first principle, I believe with complete faith that God is the creator and ruler of all things. And that's what we talked about. Let me just read the second half, which we'll get to. He alone has made, does make, and will make all things. So in Hebrew, it would be Haya, Hove, Yihye, past, present, and future of all things. So the first part we discussed, that I believe with complete faith that God is the ruler of all things. And we discussed in terms of that Judaism has this belief. Again, it is not a leap of faith. To me, it is a basic belief. I'm sitting on a chair. Somebody had to make the chair. My book is on a table. Somebody had to make the table. I'm using a computer. Someone had to program that computer. It didn't just happen. I think the word in Hebrew would be me'elav, by itself. Is that correct? Rachel, Nachon, me'elav. It happened by itself. Things don't happen by itself. Shoshana, you're not the only one that speaks Hebrew here. So I have, and they speak Yiddish also, I think, right? Jake, you speak Yiddish also?
Abyssal.
Oh, only Abyssal? Okay.
Hello?
Yes.
Good. I'm just in a rare bus meeting again. It's okay.
Just mute him. Okay. So there has to be, we have this belief in a basic being. And again, like I'm trying to explain, it's not a leap of faith. Judaism does not believe in a leap of faith. That is not what maybe other religions or whatever they are have to make some believe in a leap of faith. Oh, he's coming back. He was here. He's coming. He's going to appear. And I'm not here for a leap of faith. I'm here to look at reality. I'm here to look at a world that exists, that somehow had to have gotten here. Is it possible that everything happened by accident and by a big bang? Yeah, it's possible. I'll be the first to admit. It's possible. Is it probable? It's not so probable. It's more probable that there's a creator than there is that it was an accident. It's more probable that my chair was made by somebody than it just appeared. I haven't heard of another big, I heard a lot of bangs. There have been a lot of bangs in the world, and I do that every so often for show and tell. I go like this, bang. Nothing's much has changed other than my hand hurts a little bit. So when we talk about the Big Bang or things that happened by accident, There are very, I can't think of anything that has happened by accident that now has something with consistency. In other words, that the sun should be created by accident, and all of a sudden the sun has such consistency that it rises every day, sets every day, it does what it needs to do every single day. I can't create anything by accident. Yes, Eliel David. What have you created by accident?
No. Some inventions came by accident. There's a medicine that we use when we have infections, and that was only found out because a piece of mold fell into whatever was the story at the time or something like that. And the antibiotics was discovered for mold, but it wasn't an accident. Obviously, God sent it to happen, but accidentally he discovered it.
Right. That's not from the elements of the world. That's not from the creation of the world. Children don't happen by accident. You know, certainly we do things by accident. That is our God-given. But the formation of us, the fact that we operate to have a human body, no other human has been created by accident. Well, you know, I'm not talking about, the other kind of accident. I'm talking about where that you just can't create a child. Denise is looking at me like, what's he talking about? Come on, Denise. I'm talking about, you know, when two people get to have a man and a woman get together and they didn't want to have a child and they had a child by accident. That's what I'm talking about. but that the world, that everything else to work in such harmony together with everything else, for it to actually happen by accident would be way too great an achievement. And besides the fact that they still haven't answered where the accident came from, where these initial force of energy came from to create the accident. But, so it's possible. It's possible, as someone once wrote in the Reader's Digest in the 1940s, that if one can believe in the theory of evolution, then one can believe that the unabridged dictionary came about by an explosion in the print shop. That's basically what it's saying. There's a famous story of Maimonides, this author of our 13 principles, that he was the greatest of philosophers of his time. And he was once invited they came to him. There was a group of these so-called, I want to call them atheists. I don't know if they were atheists back in the 1100s. So whatever they were called, those who did not believe in God, who felt that they came to, they wanted to meet the famous doctor, Rabbi Dr. Maimonides. So they came to his home. So what he did was he took out one of his most classic works of Maimonides is called Mora Nevuchim, a very deep philosophical work in English that it's translated as A Guide to the Perplexed. And he left it in his anteroom, you know, like in his waiting room. And he told his people that when these people come, the ones who are coming to meet with me, just have them sit down here in the waiting room. So these people come. And they say, fine, you know, and the servant says, don't worry, just come have a seat in the waiting room and the Maimonides will be with you shortly. Fine. And in the meantime, they see this manuscript and they start reading the manuscript. And Maimonides stayed in his room, didn't come out. And these people got so, whoa, what, this is an unbelievable achievement. What an unbelievable, they started reading this manuscript, A Guide to Perplex. It's a very, very high level philosophy. Anyway, after about an hour, Maimonides comes out of his study and he goes over to them in the waiting room and he introduces himself and they say, wow, this manuscript here, who wrote it? So Maimonides turns to them and says, oh, that was by accident. I was sitting at my desk and I knocked over the thing of ink, the bottle of ink. And when I knocked over the bottle of ink, these words came out. So they looked at him and they go, are you serious here? And you can understand already what Maimonides was, the message Maimonides was trying to give them. And he says, I know why you're here. You're here to try and tell me that things happen just randomly. So why can't this be random? Why can't this great work, this great manuscript that you're looking at right now, why can't that also be random? And they didn't have an answer. They said, no, it can't be random. Well, I'm random. You're random. This should also be random. I can knock over a bottle of ink and this should be come out words. Why can't that be? An accident is an accident. And they didn't have an answer. And that was basically the end of their meeting. There was nothing else left for Maimonides to tell them. They had come and they had learned their lesson. And over the centuries, my friends, people after groups or individuals have come to say, no, I listen to this. I got it. The Jewish people were here only to have the Jewish people come along and say, people have tried that long before you. It didn't work for them. It's not going to work for you either. They've given up trying to come up. Sure, people try to say accident. But it really, if you think about it, the God way certainly makes more sense, is more probable. Now, people may not like it. People may not like the answer because it means if there really is a God and somebody, then I actually have to do something about it and understand God. What am I doing here? You know, so when I teach in high school, sometimes I have to walk out of the classroom. Oh, the teacher walks out of the classroom. The kids now are, I come back, they're climbing the walls. Because when the teacher is there, there's rule and order. There's, you know, the teacher walks out, everybody's like schmoozing and singing and banging and God knows what else is going on. Teacher comes in, teacher's back. And that's what people think it is, that in Yiddish we would say, a hefkerwelt, that the world is just, you know, free for all, do whatever you want. Because if the teacher is not, if there is no teacher, if there is no God, do whatever you want. If you don't believe in God, then do whatever you want. What's stopping you from doing whatever you want? The only reason why people are stopped from doing what they want is because at the end of the day, people have enough seichel, enough brains to understand that deep down that there really is something that's running and controlling this whole, my body, this world, our connection and everything else. That there has somehow or another is a rhyme or reason, because the people really felt that there really is no rhyme or reason. You know, why bother? Just do whatever you want. All right, Shoshana, then Stephanie.
I heard you say you've referenced that there's either God or it's an accident.
Correct. And is it odd or is it God? That's correct. It's one or the other.
So. What do you mean? How can it be so black and white that everything is an accident? Like everything? Or there's no sense of evolving, of evolution whatsoever?
But evolution from what? Who created the...
From apes to man.
So who created the original apes or man or two man? Who created the original?
But because I don't know, it doesn't mean it's God.
But then what else is it? Give me another option. Please.
I know that the earth is older than 5,000. It's millions and perhaps billions of years old.
Where did it come from?
But our story says that the earth is 5,000 years old.
Shoshana, again.
No, I'm...
Let's stick with one. Forget about God. God doesn't exist. Let's just go with God doesn't exist. Okay? Let's just go that way.
Yes.
Let's go. So yes. Where did it come from?
What do you mean? I don't know. But how do you know that God exists?
Where did my chair come from?
Man made it.
Where did man come from? Made it from what?
From the trees.
Where did the trees come from?
from God. The trees came from God.
We're not talking about God. God is out of the equation now. It's either God.
As human beings, we have a conscience. We have a conscience, never mind about religion. We have a conscience that it's wrong to murder. This is not religious. This is inherent in societies throughout time. Yes,
this has nothing to do with religion. That's correct. This has nothing to do with religion.
So you're saying...
I'm asking a public question, If God did not create the world... See, for me, it's very simple. God created the world, and God said everything should be. No problem. Everything is because God said
so. I have a fossil that says that it's 318 million years old.
No problem.
So how is that? Is it wrong? Is it a mistake?
That's a separate question, Shoshana. That's a separate question. Where did it come from? I don't care how old it is. Could be a 3 trillion years old. Where did it come from, if not from God? Give me an option.
There are meteors, there are breakoffs that happen in space, planets.
Excellent. Where did the meteors come from?
God. It's what just one God, and there's so many universes, never mind planets. There's different solar systems, and it's all this one God.
So you do believe in God?
No, I'm just, it just doesn't make sense to me. The God is the creator of all, our universe.
But Shoshana, I got what? That. Then what else is?
Maybe it's something that we don't know.
Maybe it's something. I agree. Maybe it's something that we don't know. Then we don't know anything. Then we don't know where we came from.
Socrates said that the older that I get, the more I feel that way, the more I realize how much I have to learn. And I want that written on my gravestone, that I stayed and remain teachable. I want to learn. I'm so interested in this story of Yaakov and Esau. And like
they never existed. They never existed.
No, it's stories that people told throughout time. This is how Judaism and all religions have transformed and evolved.
It's folklore. It's folklore.
It's possible.
It's Baba Mises.
They have teachings. It has teachings.
Who taught?
The people. This is how we said people were uneducated in those times. They weren't learned.
Is there a Santa Claus?
When you're 3, there's a Santa Claus.
So when you're 3, there's a Jacob. When I'm in my age now, there's no Jacob. It's Baba Mises.
Rabbi, I have another way to explain.
One second. There's some hands up also. I want to get to Stephanie and Elio David, and then I'll get to you just to keep some kind of an order here. I just wanted to mention as follows, Shoshana, because we've talked about this already for hours. You've yet to come up with a proper alternative to God. I'm happy to listen. I'm looking for an alternative to God that has created such an unbelievable being called human.
Yuval Noah Harari, I told you, it's a very interesting person to know. And he says that we have myths. We live with myths. Myths like credit and money and religion and many myths, like the myth. I'll give you an example. The myth about money. At the time, there was $7 trillion or $8 trillion allotted in the world. $1 trillion was printed. Where's the other $6 trillion? It's in the computer, in our belief in trust. We trust that there's a banking system. There's no paper printed. This is all how we believe stories get told. Stories throughout time are told and people believe them. And the more, what separates us from apes, from primates, is our ability to congregate in large groups, larger than apes, and we're able to organize. And that's how I think we came about. And I don't know. I don't know that I'm not saying there isn't God, but there's so many things that are happening that it can't all be, well, that's just God's will. I mean, you know, I have an issue with, honestly, there were so many people, innocent people who died in the concentration camp to say this is children, but like, and this is God's will. I don't know. I think it was Hitler's will, not God. It was a man, an evil man. I don't know. Maybe there is God. I'm not saying there isn't. I'm not. What I see in a people who observe, like yourself and your family, when we go for Shabbos, I feel it in my DNA to be at your Shabbos table. Honest to God, Rabbi Heshy. This I think is what Yiddishkeit is about, is to share and to care and to be kind to others. And, you know, I think, I don't know. And I don't know about God. And I keep telling you that, but I'm not saying there isn't. I love learning the stories. I don't know the stories enough, and I'd love to learn them. And, you know, not to say that there isn't a God, because there's such beauty in what the stories teach. And I think it's about togetherness in Yiddishkeit. That's what I think. I've said enough. Sorry. No more.
Okay. Thanks for sharing. Stephanie.
You talked about the Big Bang. Maybe Hashem created the Big Bang. Big Bang.
Excellent
like
point.
Like Noah's Ark. Like the Tower of Babylon. Maybe that Big Bang was there, and maybe it did come from Hashem. That's all.
Very good. Excellent point. But to your point, Stephanie, then everything else, the root of everything still comes from Hashem. At the end of the day,
I believe that. I truly do believe that. I believe that whatever, like, it's not to question why to him. Because we don't know why. We don't know the answer why, but there's a reason. He has his reasons. You're going to get, I woke up with a black eye. There is a reason for it. I don't know what the reason is, but it just happened. And it was embarrassing. So I didn't go out and show my face anywhere. So, but there was a reason for it. And mine is not to question why. Mine is just to have faith and know that Hashem has his reasons for everything. And I believe that, period.
Okay, very good. Thanks for sharing.
Thank
Leo David.
Yeah, so I have two questions and two comments. My main question is, if we were created by evolution, why did the evolution stop? Why isn't everybody in a different state?
It hasn't stopped.
Why isn't everybody in a state of evolution?
Shoshana, let him.
I should already have three arms, and my neighbor should have a tail, and the other neighbor should have a head that looks different than mine. Not only that, but there is nothing that separates us from the apes. If it's part of evolution, because we were the apes. So what separates us from the apes? The apes are just our great grandparents, so we don't have to respect them anymore. Why are we respecting our parents if our parents were apes? Another thing I would like to say is that murder makes tremendous sense according to the human thought and morality system. And what the Holocaust has taught us is that when you remove God from the world, and you think of your own religion, your own morality, you get people who kill children and millions of people without any guilt. 7 million people killed people. It wasn't just Hitler. It was an entire continent on Europe. And if we miss that point, then we didn't learn anything. It's when we remove God from the situation, that's when we become animals. And that's unfortunately part of addiction. And that's the root of all issues. So I think the more you put God into the picture, the more peace people will experience, the more I will experience peace. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. Vic?
Just in answer to Shoshi's predicament, when I was growing up, my father was actually more observant than I've led to believe. And a couple of times I asked him, I said to him, "Dad, how do you know there's a God?" And those two times it was the most angry I've ever seen him. He said to me, "Go study the Torah for 30 years and then we can have this discussion." And I think what he meant was that one can't say there's a God or there isn't a God without studying the facts. It's like in any profession or any science, there's so many things in the Torah and in the Parshas that with the letters and with the way they complement each other and everything that to him proved that Hashem existed. That it was enough for him, and I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to make it enough for me. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for sharing. Who else? Rachel, Jake.
To me, there's no question about it.
Lama.
Hello.
We will team a mavet because I like what you said about the leap of faith. As I mentioned, my second heart surgery, open heart surgery, I my heart stopped. And I mean, there was, of course, a belief in God before that. But I can't say this was actual proof of God, although I could, because he brought me back. And it wasn't the time to go to the Olam Haba. But in so many ways, in our personal life, in so many ways, there have been moments, you know, some people call it lucky moments, some people call it the guardian angel, but there are so many moments, so many times. I told a story about Rachel, my mother, and her mother all having the same birthday. That doesn't mean that God did that, but certainly there have been, if not hundreds and thousands of instances where faith and Hashem came into it. And so, like Shosh says, Lama lo, I think in my case and I think in Rachel's case as well. You know, so many times we woke up from not Vic's potion, but certainly other people's potion, and just having awakened, and in her case and in my case, tells me that it's not just Vic, it's somebody else, something else out mm-hmm. there. So I'm glad we talked about the leap of faith. So I would say it's been constant faith from birth and onwards. So that's Zeuze.
Zeuze.
Thanks for sharing. I'd like to add another little layer to this discussion. And the next layer is that evolution only deals with physical. There has yet to be any proof, a scintilla of proof, that all of our emotions that came about by accident. See, to say that there's a world, that there's a body, there's a blade of grass, there's a tree, there's a chair, there's a table, there's a bug, blah, 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 that's all physical. What about our emotions? That's not physical. Where's the evolution of that? Fear, anxiety, I can't touch it. It's not physical. There was nothing to evolve from. Nothing to evolve to on the spiritual side. So where did that come from? Where's that big bang? There is none. There is none. For that, my friends, they certainly do not have a reply to. So the theory Darwin just gave people something to think about. If you're looking for an alternative to the God theory, all right, so here's a big bang theory. This just, they call it a bang. It doesn't have to be a bang. It could have been just a snap. I mean, it doesn't have, the bang is just, it's just a word that is used to reference a something. What is the something? I don't know. And I'm making it up. It's like making up a story. Do you really know? I don't know. I'm just making it up. When a person makes up a story, where were you last night? Oh, I was, well, there's the truth. I was out drinking or whatever. And then there's, or, so the wife is listening to the husband say, or, like, I mean, there's only one of the, either you were out drinking or I was out working. Oh, there's an alternative. Okay, there's an alternative. There's a viable, valid alternative. I'll have to see which one makes sense. I was out working. I mean, obviously, you can tell that the person was working or not. You know, certain things might eventually come to light where you can know whether the person was really working or the person was drinking. In evolution, it doesn't work that way. It's again, there is, we need to find a viable alternative. So is this a viable alternative? I'll say it's an alternative. That everything came about by an accident, that there was no supreme being. All the Maimonides is teaching us here. And that's why I still, till this very day, say this every single morning, to remind myself. I believe with complete faith that there is a God and creator and ruler of all things. It just didn't happen by accident. Because if it's all an accident, my friends, then I'm out of here by accident. But I'm not out of here by accident. I have a responsibility. To who? Who do I have a responsibility to? To an accident? I don't have a responsibility to an accident.
Why do you keep saying accident?
Because that's the only other alternative. Either it's on, either there's a reason why we're, something put us here. Either you put on your glasses or your glasses came on by itself. So what's the alternative? Either, so what do you think, Shoshana? Did you put on your glasses?
Yes.
Or your glasses just came on by
itself? Well, God didn't put them there.
I didn't ask about God. I'm asking about the, did you put them on or they came on by itself? Or
I put them on. I put
you just
them
have
on.
To be looking and glasses came on. So the same thing was true with the world. Either somebody put the world here or it was, I don't know.
I do have a comment. I'd like to make a comment.
Before you get to that, let's just make sure we're on you know, at the same point.
This wasn't about,
making comments at different levels.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I keep saying there either is a purpose and a rhyme and a reason to how we got here, or it's an accident. If it's an accident, then everything is an accident. Does that make sense? It's like this way or that way. You have come to a fork in the road. You have to choose. I'm either going to go yamin no small, going left or right. Which way are you going to go? You can either, there's only two ways in the road to go. If you have a third way, I'm trying to even, I'm even grappling with the second way. But there's nowhere else to go. There's a T, tip, tip. This way, God or something else, whatever that something else may be. Give me something. What's that, Brian?
I was just going to say, there's always up. So you said only left or right.
Yeah, I just used with that technology, as an expression. Okay, this way, either up or down.
Okay.
Okay, Shoshana, go ahead.
Shoshana,
anybody else? Ryan, Yaakov, yeah. Jared, Denise, Nancy. Anybody else want to chime in?
So I can say I've been listening to this conversation, and I can see how people can be on the fence, or they might listen to different ideas of how we came about and what happened. You know, my son, he's 12 and he watches a lot of YouTube and a lot of things about, you know, the stars and everything else. And he also comes to me with this whole evolution theory. I personally, I mean, not only do I not believe it, but I think it's a sad idea for me to think that I came from an animal. I think that the idea that I evolved from something that I see at the zoo or in the wild, like if I evolved, why didn't they evolve? Like, I don't get it. It just, when you strip back, I understand people want to be modern and they want to have these, you know, open-minded discussions and whatever, and I get that. But when I look at it from a logical point of view, it doesn't make any sense. And again, we know that God didn't create one world. It doesn't say anywhere that this world was created, you know, 5,000 or whatever years ago, and that was it. We know that many worlds were created before this one. So that is the explanation for things being so old and unexplained things, because we obviously haven't studied the Torah. I haven't studied the Torah to the depth that it would explain all of that, but I'm sure it does. But I just feel like for me, and I tell my son this all the time, like, I want you to really think about what you're saying, because if you really believe that you evolved from these creatures, then what else is there? Like, I personally, it makes me sad to think that. That's my feeling.
Okay, thanks for sharing. Shoshana, you had a question?
I wanted to say about the evolution of man and something Eliyahu said, that it stopped. It hasn't stopped. The next evolution is man and machine, and it's happening now with robotics and people, and that's what's happening, is technology is taking over. And, you know, I think we need to look at it. I'm not saying that disputes everything that you're saying, but the next part of evolution is biometrics meeting infotech. You know, data has surpassed oil in the world as the number one commodity years ago. So it's what's happening right now. And whether we like it or not, Facebook, I mean, there is going to be a reckoning, I do believe. You know, I just hope that people like, you know, the giants in infotech and, you know, the real people that have so much money, that the wealth will be distributed. And I don't know what that has to do with Judaism, but I think that that's a relevant issue about what's happening today in our, in the world.
Yeah, so I'll just touch on what Shoshana just said, simply because I'm in that realm of artificial intelligence and cybersecurity and all that. It's within what I'm doing right now heavily. But I think, I won't get into the science behind it. I do think it's a form of evolution, the way that we're evolving, just like, you know, hundreds of years ago, they didn't think that we were going to have the technology we have now, the fact that we're able to see each other. But it's not a true evolution where you're taking genetics. right? Those are machines and they're programmed. We're talking here about, you know, I mean, you can take animals and crossbreed them, yes, and whatever. But to think that a human being and an animal can be somehow integrated together, to me, that doesn't really, it's not realistic. And I think that, yes, there is, you know, something with these robots and whatever, but they'll never really take the place of human beings. And no matter how much we program them and give them artificial intelligence, they're limited to what we put into their chips, right? Into their minds, if you want to call them that. But they'll never be able to think like a human being because of what Rabbi Heshy elegantly said before, they have no emotions. So without that emotion, without that spirituality, they'll never be able to function exactly like a human being. So, I mean, it goes into a lot deeper. I just wanted to put that out there because people think machines are going to take over the world, but they're not, because behind it is a human running these machines.
The machine is already taking over low-level people who don't make a lot of money, low-level workers. But it's in shoppers. It's in all of the stores.
But again, that's artificial intelligence programmed by man, controlled by man.
Absolutely.
And when something goes wrong, it's human error. It's not machine error. We can't blame the machines for something going wrong. It's human error. Something went wrong in the wiring, in the coding, in the whatever.
Okay, but those machines are eliminating jobs. When you go to Shoppers, there's so many stalls and less cashiers. What are we going to do with all the people that are cashiers and are $10, $15 workers? What's going to happen?
I think that's a different conversation. I'm happy to have that conversation.
I'd love to talk to you about it. I'm very curious.
You can contact me. I can have that conversation with you, but they'll never fully replace humans.
Yeah. So I think the questions that come from what Vered's saying, what comes out is, will a machine ever make another machine?
No, I don't. Who knows? No. I don't know.
Because you need a human to make a machine. And when a machine breaks, you have to call Elio David, who's the repairman, to say, call the human to come and fix it. You're not going to call another machine and say, come and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very limited in terms of what machines can do. It's very limited in terms of what humans can do. So where do we get, just like we have created the machine, who created us? That's what it's coming back. And again, does the machine come about by accident? We all agree. No, why not? That was Vered's question. Why not? Why can't a machine come about? Why do I need to make a machine? Let it come about by accident. Maybe the same question answers back. Was I created by accident? Maybe I also needed to have something created. All right, Leo David.
Yeah,
you got a lot of smiles on that comment. Good.
Two things. One thing is that from all the species that there are in the world, we're the only ones that talk. And yet none of them developed speech or talking abilities, or at least as intellectual as we are. And they've been around, let's say, for millions and trillions of years, and yet none of them have ever gotten past their state of evolution, except for some reason, man has come past monkey. But the horse stayed a horse, and the squirrel stayed a squirrel. They just had bad luck. But the thing is that the next thing is called industrial revolution. We have lived through many industrial revolutions where low-level people have lost their jobs, and society has still continued to thrive and survive, and they will learn new jobs and new purposes, and everything will be just fine. And when people start looking for reasons to feel uncomfortable and want to blame it on the world instead of looking for themselves, then we start saying, oh, the world's coming to an end. But it's not true. It's continuously growing and progressing, and we can't live in the past. We have to live in the present, and we have to look towards the future.
Mm-hmm. Nancy, did you have your hand up? Well, thanks for showing you, Leo W. Nancy, something you wanted to say?
No, it was by mistake. Sorry.
But you can share anyway now that you're on. What do you think?
I think that probably the best way to deal with life is to believe that there is God, and everything was created by Him, and evolution and everything was created by God, because if not, then everything's an accident, and then there's no cohesion in life, and it just makes life easier. It gives you a path to walk down, you know, rather than thinking, oh, it's not meant to be, I should have done this, I should have done that. I think having a real belief makes your life calmer, more peaceful, and you could live a happier life and with more meaning. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing. I know it's 8:28, but I've been itching to say this. I've been itching to say this, although Shoshana is not going to like me after I say this.
I will. It's not true.
You ready for the big statement? If yep. everything's an accident, then maybe, my friends, maybe the Holocaust was one big accident and there's no one to blame.
Maybe it was our fault. Just like Rabbi Akiva and his students.
That's something different, Stefan. Let's just stay with this. Maybe the Holocaust was just like everything else in life is an accident.
How do you mean the Holocaust was an accident? Maybe
the whole world was. It's a big bang. You know, there was a bang, and 6 million Jews died. How
22 why? Million people, not just 6 million Jews, but yeah,
exactly,
million
exactly. whatever, millions. That's
but
right.
we were targeted. We were definitely targeted.
Yeah.
So it wasn't an accident.
No, it was an accident. You don't understand. It was an accident. You got to be consistent, Shoshana. This is my point. If you want to believe an accident, believe an accident. But believe in it all the way. You want to believe in God? Believe in God, but believe in God all the way. Don't, you know, Misharayin, Ahin, Aharon, that's where people get lost. And that's why people are unsettled. I'm supposed to say it in my Yiddish. So I'm supposed to, right, that's a wrong Yiddish, or both dialects of Yiddish. I have the Amerikanischer Yiddish Eichet, but I can, okay, that's for another time. That's for a little comedy routine. But it's important to say, be consistent. I think that's what Vera was trying, and Elio, David, and Stephanie, and others, and Nancy, was just, it's got to make sense. So if what works for you is that the world is an accident, everything is an accident. And please explain it. If everything is God and God created the world, then God is everything. I may not understand it. I may not like it. But God is everything. So my friends, we still only have the first half of the first principle. We still haven't hit the second half. But I want to thank you all for joining this evening. Wow, what a discussion. Those who were not here tonight, boy, you missed a good one.
But yeah.
Shoshana, you're on mute.
You're recording it, no?
Yes, they're recording it. But okay. Anyway, thank you all for joining, God willing. We'll see you back tomorrow night on a spiritual awakening.
Yep.
Bye, everybody. Thank you. It was a great meeting tonight.
It was just an accident.
Rabbi. Yeah.
I missed it.
No.
Rabbi, I wanted to let you know that my son Josh surprised me and came home tonight.
Oh, wow.
Gave me a beautiful pink roses.
Beautiful. That's so nice.
I was totally shocked. So he came for Hanukkah. So it's a special night. It's going to be special.
Very, very nice.
Live
joy.
Excellent.
Enjoy.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good. Bye, everybody.
Take care.
Laila Tov.
Laila Tov.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Good night.
Thank you. Good class.
Bye.